Hello, welcome to Science TLDR. Today we're embarking on a deep dive into a truly groundbreaking paper. It's titled, Glycan Shielding Enables TCR-Sufficient Allogeneic CAR-T Therapy, and it's just out in the journal Cell. Our mission here is really to get under the hood of a critical advancement in cancer immunotherapy. We're talking about how researchers are tackling some really long-standing challenges in creating universal, off-the-shelf CAR-T cell therapies. This isn't just a small step. It feels like a fundamental rethink of how these powerful cell therapies interact with our immune system.
Absolutely. For those of us in the field, autologous CAR-T therapy, that's where we engineer a patient's own T cells. That's been completely revolutionary for certain B-cell cancers. We've seen incredible responses.
Yeah, often life-saving, right?
Definitely. But the practical side, it's tough. The manufacturing is complex. It takes time. The cost is, well, huge. And honestly, not every patient is even eligible. Sometimes they just don't have enough healthy T cells to start with.
So the ideal, the holy grail we sometimes hear about, is allogeneic CAR-T therapy, using donor cells that are basically ready to go when needed. But that's where the big problems start, isn't it? The immune system is just so good at spotting non-self.
It really is. And the promise of an off-the-shelf product is massive. Imagine mass-produced, standardized, ready for infusion almost immediately. It's incredibly appealing, but it slams right into two formidable hurdles. First, the patient's own immune system, the host, it attacks the donor graft cells. We call that host versus graft rejection, HVG.
Meaning the therapy doesn't last long enough.
Exactly. The donor CAR-T cells just don't persist long enough to really do their job effectively. And second, there's the reverse problem, which can actually be more dangerous. Graft versus host disease, GVHD.
Right, where the donor cells attack the patient.
Yeah, the donor T cells, the ones meant to fight the cancer, they mistakenly see the patient's healthy tissues as foreign and launch an attack. It's a really delicate balance to strike.
Okay, so traditionally, the main strategy to stop that dangerous GVHD has been, well, genetic engineering, right? Deleting the T cell receptor, the TCR, from those donor CAR-T cells. It seems logical to remove the part causing the problem.
It does make sense on the surface.
But, in biology, there's nearly always a trade-off, isn't there? This feels like a classic case.
It's a perfect example, really, solving one problem, but then creating others. Because while getting rid of the TCR is effective at preventing GVHD, it opens up these new vulnerabilities. These TCR-deleted cells, they suddenly become targets for natural killer cells, NK cells. It happens through this mechanism called missing self recognition.
Missing self. So because the cell's normal ID badge is gone, basically.
Precisely. It's a bit like trying to sneak past one guard by removing your ID, but that very act makes you stick out like a sore thumb to another type of security, the NK cells. And what's more, these TCR-deleted cells, they often don't persist as well long-term in vivo. They're also more prone to something called activation-induced cell death, or AICD.
AICD. That's where they essentially self-destruct.
Yeah, after they get repeatedly stimulated, like by cancer cells, so you end up with cells that are safer from GVHD, yes, but they're less durable and still vulnerable to these other immune attacks.
So a really complex puzzle. How do we solve this? Balancing immune evasion with keeping the CAR T cells potent and persistent. This is where the real detective work in this paper starts, and it seems like a really smart, unbiased approach.
It's fascinating the methodology they used. They employed a genome-wide CRISPR screen in human T cells. They weren't just guessing. They systematically searched the entire genome. The idea was to find genes where if you delete them, the CAR T cells survive better by resisting those three key killing mechanisms, host T cells, NK cells, and the AICD self-destruction.
Okay, so three different screens.
Exactly, three distinct screens. The first was an HLA-ABC low expression screen. They looked for genes that, when knocked out, would reduce the HLA molecules on the cell surface.
Those are like the main identity tags the host T cells look for.
Correct. Reducing those makes the cells less visible to host T cells. Then they ran an NK cell killing screen. This was particularly clever. They first made the T cells more susceptible to NK cells by knocking out BDOM that usually triggers the missing self attack.
Setting them up for failure almost.
Right. Then they screened for genes that could still protect the cells from NK killing, even in that vulnerable state. And finally, a Facilo-induced cell death screen, looking for genes that would make T cells resistant to that programmed cell death pathway triggered by Facilo.
Wow. Okay, that's comprehensive. And out of all that unbiased searching, what emerged? What was the critical common target across these different evasion strategies?
The key hit was a gene called SPPL3. signal peptide peptidase-like 3.
SPPL3, not exactly a household name. What does it actually do? Why is it so important here?
Well, SPPL3 is an enzyme. It sits in the Golgi apparatus inside the cell, and it acts as a kind of chelator. But critically, it regulates how glycans are formed and how many there are on the cell surface.
Glycans. Those are the complex sugar structures coating our cells.
Exactly. And deleting SPPL3 profoundly changes the cell's whole glycan profile. So the core hypothesis, which the paper really backs up strongly, is that by tweaking this glycosylation, SPPL3 dilution creates a kind of glycan shield.
A shield made of sugars.
Sort of, yeah. The shield seems to help the T cells evade a whole range of immune recognition pathways. It basically makes them look less foreign, less like a target. It's like changing the cell's camouflage.
Okay, so they pinpointed SPPL3, but the million-dollar question for any therapy is, does knocking it out actually give you the protection you want without messing up the CRT cell's main job, killing cancer?
Yeah.
What did the preclinical validation show?
That's exactly what they tested next, and the preclinical results were pretty compelling. First, they showed resistance to ACD. SPPL3 knockout cells, or SPPL3K KO cells, were significantly less likely to undergo that self-destruction compared to controls, so potentially more durable.
Good start. What else?
Second, in models looking at host versus graft reactions, these SPPL3 KO T cells, even with their TCR disrupted, were less likely to stimulate host T cell proliferation. That suggests reduced recognition by the host immune system.
So less likely to trigger that HVG rejection.
Seems that way. Third, these cells effectively resisted being killed by other allogeneic T cells, much like cells already engineered for immune evasion. And maybe most impressively, they were protected against NK cell attack, even when they had low levels of those HLA identity tags, which usually makes them more vulnerable to NK cells.
Wow, okay, so it seems to protect against host T cells, other T cells, and NK cells, plus that self-destruct mechanism. That really does sound like a comprehensive shield. But how? How does deleting SPPL3 actually change the cell surface to do all that? What's the nitty-gritty with the glycans?
Right, the mechanism. That's where their glycan analysis came in. They found SPPL3 KLT cells had more glycosylation enzymes, suggesting a shift in metabolism. And on the surface, they saw more complex N-glycans, things like N-acetyl-D-lactosamine or LACNAC. They also found higher levels of sialic acid. That's a negatively charged sugar, and it's known to influence cell interactions and kind of dampen immune recognition.
Okay, so more complex, more charged sugars.
Exactly. But here's the really critical part for CAR T therapy. SPPL3 dilution significantly increased the amount and types of glycans specifically on the TCR-CD3 complex.
The part they want to hide from the host immune system.
Precisely. It's like putting a thick sugary coat over the TCR, masking it. But, and this is vital, the glycans on the anti-CD19 SIAR molecule itself, the part that targets the cancer, they remained unaffected.
How? Why the difference?
It seems the SARA linker region they used just lacks the right molecular motifs for this type of N-linked glycosylation. So SPPL3 deletion doesn't add sugars there. The SARA can still see and bind the cancer cell perfectly.
That is incredibly elegant. So the glycan shield makes the cell stealthy by hiding the foreign TCR, but leaves the cancer-targeting CAR-SAR completely functional. Did these modified cells still pack a punch against cancer in animal models?
They did. The functionality tests were very positive. In the lab, in vitro, these SPPL3K ODCR coanti CD19 CAR T cells killed CD19 positive tumor cells just as well as standard CAR T cells. They even seem to have a bit of a growth advantage when repeatedly challenged with the cancer cells. And more importantly, in xenograft mouse models, mice carrying human tumors, these shielded cells significantly inhibited tumor growth and improved survival, basically matching the efficacy of the conventional CAR T cells. So yes, the immune evasion didn't seem to compromise their anti-tumor power.
Okay, that's really strong preclinical data. So the next obvious step is humans, a phase I clinical trial. What happened when these glycan-shielded TCR-deficient CAR T-cells were actually given to patients with lymphoma?
Right. The first in-human trial, NCT-0601403, they enrolled 9 patients with relapsed or refractory B-cell non-Hodgkin lymphoma. The main focus, of course, was safety and tolerability, and the initial safety results were encouraging. Crucially, no dose-limiting toxicities or GVHD were seen within the first 28 days. That's a big deal for an allogeneic product.
That is significant. But what about other side effects?
They saw the kinds of adverse events we often see with CAR T therapy, things like low blood counts, lymphopenia, anemia, thrombocytopenia, and also cytokine release syndrome, CRS, and neurotoxicity, or ICANS. About a third of the patients had grade 3 or higher CRS, and similarly for ICANS.
Okay, so manageable, known CAR T toxicities, but no GVHD. That's promising. But did they actually work? Did the cells fight the cancer in these patients?
The efficacy was quite striking, actually. They reported a 100% objective response rate, ORR. That means all 9 patients showed some response. Within that, 66.7% achieved a complete response, CRAR, and 33.3% a partial response.
100% ORR. That's remarkable in this heavily pretreated population. How long did the responses last?
The median duration of response was reported as 2.2 months, which, you know, is okay, but maybe not as durable as hoped initially. However, 3 patients did maintain their responses for over 6 months, but here's where a really fascinating and unexpected observation came in. Remember, the infused product was designed to be TCR deficient. Less than 0.3% of cells had a TCR.
Right. They got rid of the TCR to prevent GVHD.
Exactly. But in the blood of some patients, they saw a significant expansion of the tiny fraction of residual CD3 plus ER plus T cells, cells that still had their TCRs. These TCR-positive cells expanded hugely, over 100-fold, and persisted for more than 2 months, often correlating with effective B-cell suppression.
Wow. So the very component they meticulously tried to eliminate, the TCR, actually showed up, expanded, and seemed to be contributing to the anti-cancer effect and persistence. That must have caused some head scratching.
Absolutely. It was a pivotal observation, and it tied into another finding. Some patients developed mild self-limiting skin rashes, but when biopsied, these rashes were not classical GVHD.
Not GVHD, even with TCR-positive donor cells expanding.
Correct. It strongly suggested that the SPPL3 deletion wasn't just hiding the TCR, it was likely also attenuating or dampening its signaling, enough to prevent severe GVHD, even when some TCR-positive cells were present and expanding. It was a clear signal from the clinic back to the lab.
That unexpected expansion of TCR-positive cells, it really flips the script a bit, doesn't it? Suggesting that TCR might actually be important for long-term CAR-T activity, not just a liability. What did the researchers do with that information? Did they go back to basics?
They absolutely did. This is a great example of reverse translational research clinic informing the lab. They specifically set up experiments in mice, a syngeneic T-cell transfer model, to directly compare TCR-deleted versus TCR-sufficient T-cells. And the results were pretty clear. The TCR-deleted T-cells showed a gradual but really pronounced decline in persistence compared to the cells that still had their TCRs. This really hammered home the idea that the TCR plays a critical role in maintaining long-term T-cell persistence in vivo.
Okay, so if you want durable CAR-T therapy, getting rid of the TCR might actually be counterproductive in the long run.
It looks that way, which leads to the really big question. If we need the TCR for persistence, but we don't want the GVHD it can cause, can SPPL3 editing let us, well, have our cake and eat it too? Can we use it to dampen the TCR activity just enough?
Right. So the new hypothesis becomes, maybe SPPL3 deletion isn't just about shielding. Maybe it's about tuning the TCR activity down, allowing a TCR-sufficient cell to persist without causing dangerous GVHD. Did the preclinical work support that idea?
It did. They specifically looked at GVHD alleviation using SPPL3 editing without deleting the TCR, and they found compelling evidence. SPPL3 KOT cells that still had their TCRs showed reduced proliferation when stimulated through the TCR compared to normal T cells. It was dampened, attenuated, not completely shut off.
So less reactive.
Less reactive, exactly. And crucially, in humanized mouse models designed to mimic GVHD, these TCR-sufficient STPL3 KO CAR T cells caused significantly less GVHD lower scores, less proliferation, and less tissue damage in organs like the liver and spleen compared to standard TCR-sufficient CAR T cells. So, yes, the preclinical data strongly suggested SPPL3 deletion could restrain T-cell proliferation enough to markedly lower GVHD risk while potentially keeping the persistence benefits of having the TCR.
Okay, this sets the stage for a really bold move then. Developing allogeneic CAR T-cells that keep their TCR, relying on the SPPL3 glycan shield to prevent GVHD. What happened when they tried this approach in patients? I imagine the first few cases must have been watched incredibly closely.
Incredibly closely. It's a significant step, moving back to TCR-sufficient allogeneic cells. There's an ongoing second phase I trial, NCT-063-33525, specifically for these TCR-sufficient SPPL3 KO CAR T-cells. The paper presents 3 early compassionate care cases that give us the first glimpse of how this works in humans. Patient C01, a 33-year-old woman with diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, got cells from an unrelated donor, and they were only a 3 out of 12 HLA match, so quite mismatched.
Okay, what happened?
She had manageable grade 1 CRS and grade 2 ICANS, a fever, and a skin rash. But crucially, a biopsy of the rash showed no signs of classical GVHD, and she achieved a complete remission, CR, that was ongoing at 6 months. Her donor T-cell trials persisted for up to 180 days. This patient's experience led them to propose this idea of bidirectional allogeneic T-cell reaction syndrome, or BATCRS, basically mild mutual immune reactions between donor and host cells causing transient inflammation like the rash, but without the severe tissue damage of GVHD.
Interesting. BDCRS. What about the other patients?
Patient CO2, a 27-year-old woman with primary mediastinal large B-cell lymphoma, got cells from a 212 HLA matched donor. She had grade 2 CRS, a mild rash, but no ICANS or other signs of acute GVHD. She achieved a partial remission, PR, at 1 month. And then patient CO3, a 34-year-old man with very high-risk BL, he received cells from a fully HLA mismatched 0-1 unrelated donor.
Zero match. That's the ultimate test for GVHD risk.
Exactly. And remarkably, he only experienced grade 1 CRS and grade 1 ICANS, some transient mild diarrhea, but no liver or skin involvement and no signs of acute GVHD. He achieved an MRD negative complete remission by day 14 with no detectable B cells.
Those are, well, they're truly remarkable results, especially that last case with the full mismatch and no GVHD alongside a deep remission. It really does suggest this glycan shielding approach could be a path towards truly universal CAR T therapy.
It's certainly very promising early data. If you connect it to the bigger picture, yes, this work makes a compelling case for glycan-shielded, TCR-sufficient CAR T cells as a potential universal therapy, offering potentially better persistence and significantly lower GVHD risk. It's a fundamental shift.
So, thinking beyond just CAR RT for blood cancers, what are the wider implications here? For immunology, for cell engineering, and, you know, being objective, what questions or limitations still need to be addressed?
The broader implications are definitely significant. This could really change how we design and optimize off-the-shelf CAR-T, potentially making them safer, more durable, maybe even cheaper in the long run. And the insights into immune evasion through glycosylation, that's fundamental biology. It could be relevant for other cell therapies, maybe even improving organ transplant survival. You could potentially apply this SPPL3 editing to other therapeutic cell types.
But what about the downsides or unknowns?
Right, we need to be critical. The rates of CRS and ICANS, while manageable, were still notable, especially grade 3 events. This needs careful monitoring and management, especially with high tumor burdens or that BATCRS phenomenon. We also need more comprehensive long-term GVHD assessment. Could rare T-cell clones with high affinity for host tissues still cause problems, especially across diverse HLA backgrounds? It's possible. And remember, the shielding isn't perfect. SPPL3KO only partially reduces HLA and TCR detection. There's still some interaction. Could that residual interaction actually be beneficial sometimes, maybe helping host T-cells join the fight against the tumor? We don't know yet. And finally, applying this to solid tumors is a whole different ballgame. Much more work needed there.
So it's an incredibly powerful new tool, but one that also highlights how much more we need to learn about fine-tuning these immune interactions. It really pushes the boundaries. This has been a fascinating deep dive into glycan shielding, offering a really thrilling glimpse into where cancer therapy might be heading. To wrap things up, what would you say are the three absolute major takeaways from the results presented in this paper?
Okay, three key results takeaways. One, first, SPPL3 deletion is a powerful way to reshape the cell surface glycan landscape. This creates a glycan shield that simultaneously protects against multiple immune attacks, fast cell death, host T cells, NK cells, crucially, without harming the anti-CD19 PARS function. Second, the T-cell receptor is actually vital for long-term CAR-T persistence. And the key finding here is that SPPL3 deletion can attenuate TCR activity enough to prevent severe GVHD in TCR-sufficient cells. It's a way to balance safety and durability. Third, the early clinical data, particularly the compassionate use cases, show that these SPPL3 null TCR-sufficient CAR-T cells can induce deep, durable remissions. They persist for months, even in fully HLA mismatched settings with a low rate of severe GVHD. This provides real proof of concept for a universal approach.
Powerful takeaways indeed. And for you, our listener, here's a final provocative thought to consider. As we get better at this kind of precise genetic engineering, how might this glycan shielding concept move beyond cancer? Could it offer new strategies for modulating immune responses in autoimmune diseases, or perhaps make organ transplantation safer and more successful by reducing rejection? Lots to think about. Thank you for joining us for this Science TLDR deep dive. We hope you've gained some valuable insights.